So today we would be going through objections to the Trinity, but because that teaching is going to be shorter and we're going to have the test, I decided to switch today for the Holy Spirit, just because the Holy Spirit, as you can see, there's going to be a lot of verses that we're going to be covering, so it would be longer than the objections teaching. So we're going to go ahead and just do the Holy Spirit today, and then next Sunday we'll do objections to the Trinity as well as the test. So, the Holy Spirit is obviously what we believe is the third person in the Trinity head. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sent by, anyone know who the Holy Spirit sent by?
Jesus.
Right, correct. Jesus. So Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He said he will send us a helper, the Spirit of Truth. All right? So today, we're just going to be looking at some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit to find out, you know, is the Holy Spirit just this vague thing? Like, is it just the Father's will? You know, or is the Holy Spirit a distinct person separate from Jesus and the Father, yet one with them? Okay, just like we saw Jesus was not the Father, alright, but he was one with the Father. They're distinct, yet they're one. Okay, so a lot of people believe that the Holy Spirit is like this abstract just will of God being done on earth. Like God sent his will and his spirit on earth to carry out what he wants done. And so that's what they believe the Holy Spirit is just God's will, just his spirit, his will being carried out on earth. And what we're going to see today is a bunch of different characteristics of the Holy Spirit, showing that the Holy Spirit is not just an abstract what, but a who. A literal who. He's a person. Okay? So, from Scripture, it can be demonstrated that the Spirit of God is more than just an abstract power. The Holy Spirit is a who and not just a what. The Holy Spirit is defined directly with God and yet is distinct from God and has personality. Based on this, we conclude that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the triune God. So, alright, so number one that we have here is the Holy Spirit can be given and taken away. And I have a lot of different verses here, but we're just going to look at a few. Why don't we go to Numbers 11, 16 to 17. So Numbers 11, 16 to 17. So, Dad, why don't you read that, and then Daniel, I'll have you read Isaiah 63:11. So that's another verse that we're going to be looking at, is Isaiah 63:11. So why don't you read that one, Daniel? And Seth, Luke 11:13. So that's another one we're going to be looking at, Luke 11, 13. And then, Joshua, why don't you do John 7, 38 to 39. Okay, John 7, 38 to 39.
Numbers 11,
16 to 17.
The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou upon those to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou shalt bear it not thyself alone.
Alright. So there we see the same Spirit that Moses had, God was going to give to these other people. Okay, the same Spirit. So he can be given, and we're going to see here in a little bit that he can also be taken away. So, Seth, why don't you read yours?
If you then, being evil, know how to give food gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Okay, so there we see the Holy Spirit can be given again. Daniel, why don't you read yours?
Then you remember the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?
Alright, so there we see that Isaiah referencing to God putting his Holy Spirit into somebody. Alright, Joshua?
38, verse
38?
He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Okay. So here's another verse we see. It's just plainly stated, the Holy Spirit is given. Was not yet given. It's just plain and simple. Okay? Alright. So now we're going to go to number two. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And we have Isaiah 63:10 and Ephesians 4:30. So Isaiah 63:10 and Ephesians 4:30. So I'm going to go ahead and read Isaiah 63:10, and Caitlin, will you read Ephesians 4:30? Alright, so Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. So here we see that the Holy Spirit is grieved by these people who rebelled. Okay?
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Okay? So here, see Paul saying to the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you can't grieve something that's a what, okay? I cannot grieve this house by not abiding in this house. The house is a what. It's a thing. It's an it. It doesn't have feelings, okay? It's just an object. Just like, you know, if I have, let's say, my feeling for my wife, my love, okay? That love, that feeling, I can't grieve that feeling itself, okay? I can't grieve something that is abstract. Like God's will, that's something that's abstract. The will of God. Just like my will to, you know, please God. That's something that is abstract. My will, okay? You can't grieve my will, okay? You can only grieve a person, a who. You can't grieve something that is abstract. I can't grieve an abstract painting. Okay? It's just a painting. It's a what. Okay? But you can only grieve something that has feelings. Okay? So.
Someone.
Mm-hmm.
Others said something. Sorry.
Yeah, someone who has feelings. So. And obviously we're seeing here that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. In these two plain, simple verses, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's just plain and simple. Okay? There's no way of jumping through a hoop to say, oh no, that's talking. No. It simply says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? Simple as that. Alright, so now we're going to go to number 3. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. Acts 7:51.
Acts 7:31, you said?
7:51. Go ahead and read that. Alright. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Alright. So here we see. You always resist the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit is being resisted. It can be grieved, okay? And has been grieved. All right, so let's go to number 4. The Holy Spirit can be rebelled against. Psalm 106, 32 to 33. Psalm 106, 32 to 33. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. Okay? So here we see David is talking about those who rebelled. And they rebelled against who? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So, we've seen so far that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, can be resisted, can be rebelled against, can be given. Alright? And now we're going to see the Holy Spirit can be put to the test. Acts 5:9. Okay? So, Acts 5, verse 9. Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Alright, so obviously we all know this story. The woman whose husband lied to the Holy Spirit and dropped dead. Then she came in, and what did God do? He gave her a chance to tell the truth, and she didn't. Struck her down. Okay? She died. Same people who carried her husband out carried her out too. She tested the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Okay? That should be a fearful thing. We don't want to test the Holy Spirit. Okay? Definitely do not want to do that. Okay? Number 6, can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29, the Holy Spirit can be insulted. Right. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Okay? The Spirit of grace. So the Holy Spirit has many different names. Okay? Spirit of truth, Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Okay? And here we see that you can insult the Holy Spirit, okay? You can't insult something that is simply abstract, all right? I can't insult. I mean, I could make fun of a painting. Oh, that painting is ugly, you know? But is that hurting the painting? No. Not hurting the painting at all. The painting is an abstract thing. Alright? So, you can't grieve something that's abstract. Alright? And you can't insult something that is abstract and it get offended. Okay? The painting that I make fun of is not going to get offended. Because it's just a thing. It's not a who. It doesn't have feelings. And we're seeing through these verses so far that the Holy Spirit can be tested. I can't test a painting. Can I? I can't test a painting. It's just a painting. Alright? I can't test it to see what it's going to react, how it's going to react to me. Alright? It's just a painting. Alright? I can't grieve a painting. I can't insult a painting and it get offended back at me. Alright? So here, we're seeing that the Holy Spirit is not something that is abstract, but is something that has feelings, okay? Something that is not a something, but is rather a who. Alright? So now we're going to go to Acts 5, 3 through 4. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, it was not your own. And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Alright, so in verse 3, who did it say he lied to? In verse 3, who did it say he lied to? I just read it. The Holy Spirit, right. But in verse 4, who did it say he lied to? God, right. So, now we're starting to see the Holy Spirit is being called God. Okay? He said you lied to the Holy Spirit. He said you didn't lie to men. You lied to God. And just seconds later, he said Holy Spirit. So now we see the Holy Spirit being paralleled with God. Alright? We're going to see that more and more as we go through these verses. So, I can't lie to a painting. I can lie to the painter. But I can't lie to the painting. Okay? You can't lie to something that is abstract. Alright? So, alright? The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Alright? And for this one, we have Matthew 3, 28 through 29. And Luke 12:10. So Matthew 3:28-29 and Luke 12:10. Victoria, would you read Luke 12:10? And then, let's see. Dad? Caitlin read. And then Sarah, will you read Matthew 3:28-29? So, Sarah, you'll read yours first, and then, Victoria, you can read yours.
3:28-29.
Matthew 3:28-29. Actually, not 3. Sorry about that. Let's see. Must have accidentally typed that one wrong. Alright, let's just do Luke 12:10. Alright. So Luke 12:10.
And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven.
Okay. And basically, the Matthew verse that I was looking for is like the Luke version of is the Matthew version of this verse. Okay, it's just basically saying you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what this is saying. I can't blaspheme something as abstract. I can't blaspheme a painting. All right. So, let's go to... This one has a lot of different verses here. So, we are just going to go through a few of them. I'll list all of them to you, so that way you can have them. Because these ones are the most important to me, out of all the ones that we are looking at here. The Holy Spirit speaks. Okay? A painting cannot speak. Okay? Painting cannot say anything. It is abstract. It is a thing, not a who. Only a who can speak. Alright? And only someone that is either God, okay, or has been given the authority by God can speak on behalf of God. Okay? So Jesus was not only God, but he was also given the authority to speak on behalf of God. Alright? The Holy Spirit is not only God, but also given the authority to speak on behalf of God. Alright? So, we're going to... the verses we're going to go to are 2 Samuel 23:2. It's one of them. And then there's a lot of Acts verses that we're going to go to, but I'll just give you the other verses that I have here. We have Nehemiah 9:30, Ezekiel 11:5, Matthew 10:20, and Matthew 22:43, Acts 1:16, Acts 4:25, Acts 6:10, Acts 8:29, Acts 10:19. Okay. You need me to go back?
10:19 is the last one.
Uh huh. 10:19, and then Acts 11:12, Acts 11:28, Acts 13:2. In Acts 28:25. And then 2 Peter 1:21. So, on your spare time, just go ahead and read the whole book of Acts, and it'll be obvious to you that the Holy Spirit is not abstract, but is a who. Alright? So... Dad, why don't you read 2 Samuel 23:2? Seth, why don't you read Matthew 10:20? Daniel, read Acts 1:16. And Joshua Guska, 2 Peter 1:21. Yes.
It says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was in my tongue.
Mm-hmm. So the Spirit of the Lord spoke through someone. All right, Seth.
For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you.
All right. So the Spirit of God speaks through. All right, Daniel.
Brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning the saints, which were guides to them that took Jesus.
Okay. So there we see again the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit speaking.
For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so the Holy Spirit is the one who is moving and speaking through those who wrote down the scriptures. And now I'm just going to go through a few of the Acts ones. Acts 4, 25. Start in 20. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are the God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? Okay, so here we see that David spoke by the mouth of God. Okay, and in a verse that I think it was Daniel who read it, said that David spoke of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one who spoke through David. So we see the contrast between God and the Holy Spirit again. Alright, we see that same, that parallel there. The Holy Spirit putting on the same level as God. Just like in the Jesus teaching, is Jesus just a man or is he God and man? We saw that Jesus was paralleled with God. Okay? He, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? Same thing. Same thing here with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Acts 6:10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Okay? So here we see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking again. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Okay? So the Spirit says to Philip, go do this. Alright? Can a painting tell you something? No. Can feelings, can abstract feelings speak words, actual words? Can something that is abstract speak? No, it cannot. A painting cannot literally tell you something. A painting can't say, hey, how's it going? No. Okay? Painting might make you feel a certain way, but paintings do not speak. Alright? And here, and there's plenty of other verses in Acts. You can, like I said, just read all of Acts, and you'll be convinced that the Holy Spirit is not a thing, but a who. Multiple times, the Holy Spirit speaks to those in Acts. The Holy Spirit says this. The Holy Spirit said this. The Holy Spirit said this. The Holy Spirit said this. The Spirit of God said this. Okay? So the Holy Spirit speaks. Okay? Something that is abstract cannot speak, cannot tell someone to do something. Alright, what did Philip do when the Holy Spirit told him to do that?
He obeyed.
Right. Are you going to obey something that you don't even know what it is?
Some people obey their feelings.
Right. But you know that they're your feelings. You know, okay, this is how I feel, I'm going to do that. But Philip heard something, he recognized what he heard and obeyed it. Okay, he heard God. Then he obeyed God because he recognized God's voice. Okay, just like the Bible says, those who are mine hear my voice. Okay, the sheep, who do they recognize? The shepherd. Okay, they follow the shepherd. All right, so Philip recognizes, ooh, God just told me to do something. Boom. Alright? He wasn't like, oh, God's will, his abstract will that he sent down on earth, moved me to do this. No. He said, oh, God told me to do something. Boom. And did it. Alright? So, then we're going to speed through these other ones. The Holy Spirit teaches. Alright, we have a few verses for these. So the first one's going to be Nehemiah 9:20. Second one is Luke 12:12, John 14:26, Acts 15:28. So I'm just going to read one. We're going to read John 14:26. Okay. And this one is one of the most powerful verses in here, besides the one where the Holy Spirit speaks, because those are just pretty obvious. If you just read Acts, like I said, just obvious. But this one is one of the ones that I frequently pull out to people and say, look, Jesus said this, all right? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he... Here we just learned that the Holy Spirit is a he. He will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all things that I said to you. So this verse is by far one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Okay? Here we see, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, okay, defines who the Holy Spirit is, the Helper. Whom the Father, okay, the Father, will send in whose name? Jesus' name. And he, we just learned the Holy Spirit is a person, he's a he, not an it, will teach you all things, okay, teaches them all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now we have something else. We have proof that the Holy Spirit brought them everything Jesus said and ever did. He brought to their remembrance, proving that the scripture is true. Okay? Proving that it was divinely inspired. It wasn't just somebody saying, oh, I think about 10 years ago, Jesus said this to this guy. No. The Holy Spirit is going to bring everything to their remembrance. Okay? And that's another important verse for the inspiration of scripture. So... because there's the, that is John 14:26. So we see that the Trinity within that verse, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? The Father is sending someone, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Okay? The name above all names. Okay? If Jesus' name is above all names, then that means it's above the name of the Father. Okay? And if Jesus isn't God, isn't part of the triune God, but is a created being, then God just exalted a man above himself. And we know that God is not going to do that. Okay? So this verse is one of the verses, like the one that we saw last Sunday, the baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Singular. One name. The name of. Not the names of, but the name of. This is another one of those verses where we see all three being mentioned. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, we see all three of them here being mentioned. And it's not like one of them is put on a pedestal above another. They're all just together. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the one who is going to be teaching the apostles when Jesus leaves. He's going to be the one bringing things to their remembrance. The Father is going to be the one sending it. And in whose name is he sending it? Jesus' name. Okay, so they're all together.
You said it.
Yeah.
Sending him.
Him. Yeah, him. Sorry. So, sending the Holy Spirit. All right. And I'd encourage you to also look up those other verses. So, the Holy Spirit warns in Acts 20:23. Read that really quick. So, Acts 20:23. So, I'm just going to start in verse 22. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that
chains and tribulations await me. So, here we have Paul saying that the Holy Spirit is warning in every city that he's going to be persecuted, he's going to be imprisoned, okay? So, Holy Spirit warns. Alright? The Holy Spirit plans in 1 Chronicles 28:11 through 12. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. So here we see that David got the plans for what all of this is going to look like, where it's all going to go. He gave it to his son, and those plans he got from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Just like when the Jews built the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, God told them how it should be. God planned that out. Okay? The Holy Spirit gave David these plans. So, the Holy Spirit leads in Matthew 4:1. John 16:13, Acts 20:22-23, and Romans 8:14.
I'm sorry, son. Can you go back and do the first 2 or 3? Because I was thinking and you were talking, and I wasn't listening to you. So I got Acts 1:2 and Romans.
Matthew 4:1 and John 16:13. So I'm just going to read the one in Romans. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Alright? The Holy Spirit intercedes, Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, oh look, the Spirit's a Him again, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Okay? So here we see the Holy Spirit is a Him, and that He intercedes for us and makes groanings for us. Okay? Just like Jesus intercedes for us, Holy Spirit, He intercedes for us as well. Alright? So, and just so, if, you know, all of the Catholics out there, this is a good verse to point them to, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for them. Mary is not interceding for them. All of the dead saints are not interceding for them. Okay? That's why they pray. They pray to the saints, so that way the saints will pray to God for them. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus are the ones interceding. Because there's been a time where I was talking to a Catholic on a college campus, when I went with Tracy Bays to a college campus, and I said that Jesus and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, but I could not find the verse. He said, oh, what verse is that? Easily showed him the one in Hebrews where Jesus intercedes for us, but I could not find the one in Romans. I didn't know where it was. So now, in case you ever have that, there it is. All right. The Holy Spirit reveals, Luke 2:26. First Corinthians 2:10. Luke 2:26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Okay? So there we see that the Holy Spirit reveals. Okay? The Holy Spirit gives rest. Isaiah 63:14. Isaiah 63:14. As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. So here we see a poetic way of saying that the Holy Spirit gives rest. Okay. The Holy Spirit empowers. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Alright? So the Holy Spirit is the one who empowered all the apostles to speak in tongues, to testify, to remember all the things Jesus did, to perform miracles. It was the Holy Spirit who was giving them the abilities and the powers to do that. All right. So the Holy Spirit comforts and counsels, John 14:16 through 17. All right. So we know there that Jesus said that he would send a helper, one who's going to comfort, because he's not going to leave us orphans. All right. And so John 14:16 to 17 and John 26. So, 14:26, John 15:26, and Acts 9:31. So I'll just read Acts 9:31. I'll start in verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. In the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit is truth, 1 John 5:6. This is he who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Who else is truth? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so here we see, Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is eternal, John 14:16 and Hebrews 9:14. So John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, the Holy Spirit abides with us forever. The Holy Spirit isn't just abiding with us, but the Holy Spirit was abiding with Peter, James, John, Philip, Paul, them, all the generations after them, all the way to us, and is going to keep going. Okay? The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, John 14:17 and Psalm 139:7-8. So John 14:17 and Psalm 139:7-8. Alright, so the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Alright, so we know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, okay? Not just because he was with Paul, but he was also with Peter, James, John, all the other apostles, as well as with Paul, at the same time. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is omniscient, Isaiah 40:13, 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Or 10-11. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Alright. So, our understanding of God is never going to be complete in this life. For right now, we only look in the glass dimly. Okay? Whenever we die, and we go to be with the Father, okay, we're going to see more clearly, but even still, we're not going to, in that moment that we die and meet God and see Jesus, we're not going to know infinitely how powerful and how majestic he is in that moment. We're going to be spending all of eternity getting to know him, all right? Because what did Jesus say eternal life was? Anyone? He said specifically when he's praying to the Father in John 17, eternal life is to know you. To know you. That's what we're going to be spending eternity doing. Getting to know the Father. Alright? So, the Holy Spirit is the one searching out the not just the things of God, but the deep things of God. Alright? So, you have to be pretty powerful to search out the deep things of God. In fact, you have to be God to search out the things of God. Alright? So, the Holy Spirit has glory and is glorious. 1 Peter 4:14. And 2 Corinthians 3:8. So, 1 Peter 4:14. And 2 Corinthians 3:8. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is also blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So the Spirit of God is glorified when you're persecuted. Alright? You're glorifying him. Okay? Because who did Jesus say was going to speak through us when we are put before rulers and kings? Who's going to be the one speaking through us? Who? Anyone know? The Holy Spirit, right. Okay? So So, when Paul was brought before, who was it? Was it Caesar? Caesar. Before all of these powerful rulers in Rome, who was he glorifying? Glorifying Jesus' name, he's glorifying the Father, and glorifying the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through him. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit has power to give life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6 and Galatians 6:8. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Okay? We went over this, didn't we? Yeah. So, letter kills, Spirit gives life. Alright? Very simple. Alright, so, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and will rise us. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. What? 8:11. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Pretty clear, right? Holy Spirit raised Jesus. Holy Spirit is going to give us life, give us new life, give us abundant life, okay? The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures. Obviously, we know that one. I'm going to give you the verses for it. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Peter 1:21. Ephesians 6:17. Okay, those are all ones that we know. Alright, I'm pretty sure most of us have those memorized by now, right? Okay. Can anyone quote one of those from memory? One of those verses? Anyone? Paraphrase it?
Paraphrase the Timothy.
Alright.
Do you have a paraphrase Bible?
You still accept me.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for convincing, rebuking.
Right.
Teaching.
Yep, there you go. Perfect.
But there's a little bit at the end of the list. And then there's a little phrase at the end. I can't remember that.
We can go to it. 2 Timothy. Let me get there. 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Oh, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work.
May be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Alright. The Holy Spirit makes decisions according to His will. 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 11. So this one is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. So for all those out there who believe that you can speak in tongues without an interpreter, you can't. Right here. The one who they're grouped together. Different kinds of tongues, and to the another person, the interpretation of those tongues. So, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Okay? So the Spirit is the one who is distributing those gifts, the one who has His own purpose and desires for those gifts, the one who has the authority to give those gifts. Okay? The Holy Spirit is able to fellowship and have communion with us, 2 Corinthians 3:14 and Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So there we see that you can have fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5, 3-4. So, we already read this one, but we're going to read it again. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. All right, so he lied to the Holy Spirit, and therefore he's lying to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. All right? The Holy Christians are the temple of God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in them. John 14:17. Romans 8. Nine through 15. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And 2 Corinthians 5:5. Alright. So I'll just read 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. All right. The one born of the Holy Spirit is said to be born of God, John 3:5-8. John 3:5-8. Anyone remember off the top of the head what John 3:5-8 is talking about? Yep, being born again. Alright, so Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Alright. So that's what we're going to conclude on there. Is being born again. So, are you born again? How do you know you're born again? Are you bearing good fruit, or are you bearing bad fruit? Can you hear the Spirit of God? Can you hear the Holy Spirit? Do you hear Him speak to you? Does He tell you to do things? I know I hear the Holy Spirit, especially when I'm out preaching. But do we hear the Holy Spirit when we're in the closet, when we're praying by ourselves? Do we spend time having fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Right? Are we going to obey the Holy Spirit like Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit? These things are things we need to constantly be checking ourselves. We constantly need to be searching our own spirit, like we saw. Who knows the mind of the man, but the spirit that searches the man. We need to be searching out ourselves, making sure that we're right with God. Okay? Making sure that if there's anything we've sinned against someone, if we sinned against our sister, our spouse, our brother, our mom, dad, we need to make sure that we confess that sin to them and we repent. Okay? We need to make sure that we are one with Spirit. We need to make sure that we keep abiding in Him and abiding in His love. Because once we stop abiding, then that's when we're going to fall. That's when we're the most open to the enemy's attacks, is when we're not obeying and we're not abiding. Okay? So let's make sure that we're always doing that. Alright? That we're born of God. And that we share that with other people. Okay, if you're born of God, you're going to hear God's voice, and you're going to be able to understand the scriptures. And those who are outside, they can't understand the things of God because they're not of God. We know Paul talked about in Romans 7, he said, the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. Okay, so those who are outside, who are not Christians, we need to constantly be telling them just the basics, just the simple things of God, that they need to be born again. Alright? We need to make sure that we're constantly sharing our faith, okay? That we're constantly letting people know that, hey, you need to be born again. Because if you're not born again, you're not going to go to the kingdom of heaven. Most people nowadays, oh, I was baptized when I was little. Baptism isn't what saves you. Okay, you need to be born of God, born of the Holy Spirit. Alright? So, if we are born again, we're going to have that desire and that want to share that with other people, so that way they can experience the same thing we've experienced. Alright? I remember when I was first born again, I was happy and I wanted to tell everybody. And I wanted other people to feel the same way that I felt in that moment. I felt like this huge, heavy weight was lifted off my back, and I felt brand new, all right? And I know after a long time, especially after out there preaching, and you have all these hard-hearted, wicked, angry people yelling and spitting in your face, that your heart can become hardened to sinners, but it needs to be soft, okay? And there's street preachers out there who, unfortunately, have hard hearts to sinners. They're hard-hearted. All right? They're out there out of habit, not because they actually love the sinner. They're out there out of habit. Okay? And we need to make sure we don't become like that. All right? We need to make sure that we still have that fire, that we still have that love for those who are not saved. All right? Because when we have that fire and that love, and we let the Holy Spirit move us, the Spirit is the one who's going to save them. We can't save them. Our words are not going to do anything. Our words are useless. Okay? It's like a dog trying to tell a human something. They're not going to understand it. Our words are useless. All right? But when we let the Holy Spirit move us and speak through us, His words, the Word of God, is the thing that's sharper than a double-edged sword. Not our words, not our stories. The Word of God is the thing that's sharper than that cuts straight to the heart. Okay? So we need to make sure that that is what we're, you know, striving for, is to let the Holy Spirit move through us, speak through us. And to do that, we need to constantly be checking ourselves, making sure that we're still abiding in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now, as we move into taking communion, let's just check over ourselves. Okay? We're remembering Jesus' sacrifice when we take communion, and it's also time to reflect, what have I been doing with God's sacrifice? Okay? Have I been abusing it? Have I been abusing the cross of Christ? Or have I been honoring the cross of Christ? Okay, a lot of people, they'll honor the death of family members. You know, like sons, if their dad dies in the army, they'll go to the army to honor their father. Okay? We need to honor Jesus, okay, by doing what He told us to do, to obey Him and to preach His word. Alright, so let's make sure that, you know, we're doing that as we move into communion. Okay? So, I hope the teaching was profitable, and that'll conclude for today.
I have a question before you conclude.
Mm-hmm. Alright.